As many of you may already know, my mom is from Puerto Rico in the Caribbean, kind of one of the last colonies of the United States of America, unfortunately. And there, the land is extremely fertile. I would go to Puerto Rico every year from the time I was 8 years old, and sometimes spend 2 months in the summers there. And I've gone just about every year since, though I can't go for as long now. And what always amazed me was how fertile the ground was and how just wildly mangoes and fruit and all kinds of fruit-bearing trees and plants just grew out of nothing, seemingly. And so when I was in Puerto Rico, if I was ever hungry or needed a snack, instead of eating some highly processed food you buy at the supermarket, I just had to climb a tree and pull down a ripe whatever it was, a mango or canepa or whatever it might be, an orange, and eat it right there. And it had three benefits. One, I did the exercise of climbing up a tree. Two, I had a fresh fruit. And three, it was natural, organic, grown right there in the soil. I remember just eating fruits and throwing it down the bank behind my aunt's house. And it would seem like the next year, that seed I just threw on the ground behind the house with the skin and all grew another plant. Bananas, mangoes, etc. My mom's town, Mayagüez, is the mango capital of the world. And it just grows wildly everywhere. So in June, July, they're abundant. And because you can't eat them fast enough because there's so much of them, the smell is quite particular with the fruit flies everywhere on the streets. And the fruit, the ground is so fertile. You know, my aunt would plant turmeric. Here I am buying it on Amazon or something to try to alleviate inflammation. My aunt would just stick it in the dirt a couple inches below what's there, not bringing any special soil from the store. And by the next year, that root is everywhere. She's making fresh tea and smoothies with turmeric. It's incredible. It takes little to no effort whatsoever. And what grows bears fruit and feeds everyone. There's always fruit aplenty. And that's what I always remember going to Puerto Rico in the summer, what season of what fruit it was, because we would eat it in abundance, fresh, organic, beautifully rich and sweet, nothing processed. In the gospel today, God speaks about his plan, that his plan of salvation will happen with or without us. He's going to fulfill his will. Christ will return in glory. Salvation will come. The question is, will we do our part? There are two ways in which we cooperate with God's grace that are essential. One, we have to do our part. We have to cooperate with the grace given by keeping his commands and responding in kind. You know, as we know, Satan is the father of lies, as he is described in the book of Revelations. And the most effective lies are always a half-truth. People will do things they know are wrong, but then they'll say, but God still loves me. And that's true. He loves everyone, including Adolf Hitler and Stalin and Castro and Lenin. He even created Satan in love before he was a fallen angel. He does love everyone. But as the examples allude, our cooperation with it determines our salvation. It's not enough that God loves us, though it's essential to be saved. We must respond in kind, like in any relationship, by keeping his commandments and cooperating with his grace. So in Puerto Rico, you know, it's kind of like heaven. You don't have to do anything. God's going to provide. Almost like the Garden of Eden, practically. Not in all things, just the soil, mostly. And with the change in weather and climate, that now is less of a factor, as they're experiencing excessive heat and have had to declare a state of emergency there this week. But here in Denver, we know that the soil is really, over millions of years, the erosion of the top of the mountains blown over and down into Denver. It's a sandy, eroded kind of soil that's not very fruitful. We have to buy our own soil. We have to till it. We have to prep it. We have to do work to grow most anything. Things don't just grow naturally that we can eat for the most part here in Denver. It takes a lot of our effort to make those delicious apples or Palisade peaches or whatever you might enjoy, although it seems like the zucchini will grow no matter what. And so the work of the soil here in Denver, it takes effort to produce fruit. And it's similar to our plan in the work of salvation with God. We've got to do our part. It's not just going to happen, like me throwing a mango seed down the bank behind my aunt's house and the following year there's already a tree growing. Right? It's going to take effort. We've got to do our part. so that God's promise can be fulfilled in our lives specifically. The second thing is, where are we subsisting and living? What's the place that we're choosing to exist in? Does it impede God's efforts, or does it support it? And what I mean by that is, in Puerto Rico, you just throw seeds on the ground and it's going to grow because it rains every day. Here in Denver, it'll just dry out and die in the sun. What is the environment that you find yourself in? Is it a toxic home? Is there addiction, mental, physical, emotional abuse, constant infidelity? So often people remain in these very toxic environments. They go to Mass every Sunday and they get frustrated that God's plan of salvation isn't being manifest in their homes, because it's a soil, unlike Denver, that even with all the effort in the world may not ever produce any fruit, because we're in a toxic environment. It's unhealthy. It's destructive. It's a constant problem. And so all the efforts in the world's not going to counteract that, apart from some extraordinary miracle. We have to uproot and plant ourselves in a healthy place. I have a friend of mine who's a nurse practitioner, and she was working with a physician helping people with all kinds of pains and a lot of generic illnesses that we don't really know that the cause is, inflammation, etc. And people will come to her office and they're 300-400 pounds. They smoke and eat heavily. They eat very unhealthily. They don't exercise. And they're constantly exposing themselves to all kinds of toxic foods and chemicals, and they're in pain and they have inflammation. And they go to her telling her, "I'm in pain." And she tells them, "Well, you've got to stop smoking and drinking too much alcohol, and you got to start eating healthier and eating less, and you need to do a little bit of exercise." And they'll tell her, no, I'm not doing any of that. Just give me a pill for the pain." She says, "Well, the pill's going to cover up the pain, but it's not going to solve what's causing it. And it's just going to get worse. You need to eat healthy. You need to exercise. You need to stop doing this and stop doing that. And you'll get better even without medicine." "No, thank you. I just want a pill." And so often, we treat religion like that, like a pill. You know, Tylenol and Advil, you know, address inflammation. They take away the pain, but usually they don't address the actual cause of the inflammation or the problem or the cause of the pain. It just covers it up. And oftentimes when we practice our religion, we treat it like a pill. We as Americans love pills to solve everything. It's a lot harder work to do what needs to be done to get healthy. And so if I could just swallow something and it goes away magically, all the better. And we typically tend to treat our religion in the same way, like a pill. We live a very unhealthy life, morally and otherwise, throughout the week. We come on Sunday to dampen the pain, the unbearableness of that lifestyle, hoping it'll get us through for the next 6-7 days. And we're back at it again. And we're like this hamster on a wheel. We're going, we're running, but we're not getting anywhere, because we've treated our religion like a pill, something to take away the pain, rather than a relationship that takes work. It takes effort. Christ already did his part while we were still sinners, dying for us on the cross. But what is our response? Are we cooperating with his grace? Are we putting ourselves in a healthy environment by how we speak, how much we drink, how much we eat, how we dress, where we go, how we treat others? The places and environments we surround ourselves with, the people we surround ourselves with, do they encourage us to respond to God's grace and create a fertile soil for his seed to bear fruit? Or are they stifling it and destroying it like the hot summer Colorado sun, drying it out? If we don't cooperate with his grace, if we don't put ourselves in a healthy place where his fruit, his seed can bear fruit, we'll be frustrated. And for many people, at the end of the day, they get frustrated because they don't change their lifestyle. They don't change their circumstances of life, and nothing changes. They get angry with God. They blame him, or they wonder if maybe he doesn't exist, or maybe religion isn't real and Jesus isn't God, when at the end of the day, it's our own doing. The good news of today's scripture is that God tells us that if we cooperate with his grace, if we put ourselves in an environment that will allow his seed to bear fruit, he will lift up the lowly. He will raise up the poor. He will make the meek the leaders of the world. Now, just being poor is not enough to experience God's salvation. Just like simply being rich is enough to be condemned to hell. By no means. It's not enough just to be poor or to be sick or to be struggling. And we must cooperate with his grace in the midst of that suffering that God promises in today's reading. The least expected, the smallest among you, will be the greatest when and if or if you cooperate with my grace. He will do great things for those from whom it is least expected. Because God can do anything when we respond in kind to his grace and his initiative of love. Because at the end of the day, religion isn't a pill to take. It's not the opioid of the masses, though many people treat it that way, and others have criticized it as such because of it. It is instead a relationship. Are we cooperating? Are we doing the work to make the fruits in your garden grow in spite of the heat this summer and this past month? Are you putting yourself in a healthy environment that will allow yourself to flourish and become who God has made you to be? Anything is possible, especially among the least among us, if we do our part to cooperate with his grace. Unfortunately, the life of holiness isn't as easy as growing fruits and vegetables in the soil of Puerto Rico. But the good news is, if we cooperate with his grace, God can produce tropical fruit in the desert soils of Denver.